want to welcome each of you here today. Shout out to all of our moms and grandmothers that are among us. We thank God for you, and we do celebrate and affirm your goodness and to us, and your vital role, really, in families and in the church family. So, in line with that, I'd ask you to turn to Titus 2. That's where we will be today, Titus 2. I want to talk to you, especially our ladies, about what I believe is God's highest call for your life. And whether you're a mom or not, as you are before the Lord, this applies to every woman. So I believe it'll speak to us. Men, don't check out. God has something for us as well. So let's read that scripture, and we're going to ask God to move. Titus 2, verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to dive into your word. And as we think about Mother's Day, as we think about the impact of women in history and in our lives and in the lives of the church and family and so forth, we recognize that you have something to say, as you always do. Your word is always pertinent. It reaches right into today, into our society, into our challenges, and it speaks to us. You speak to us, and we thank you for that. Father, as we come before you in searching out the word, I ask that you would challenge us, encourage us, meet us where we're at. I pray that all the distractions that perhaps have been our week and have been to this moment, that you would just set those aside. May we see your glory. May we see Christ. May we see your word. Father, for the ladies that are here today and those that we're related to that are not here and friends and so forth, may your blessing be theirs today in abundance. May their families come around them and speak highly of them and encourage them today. Thank you for these women that are here and for the moms that we've had and enjoy and how they've touched our lives. That is a gift from you. They have been those women that are women of grace, that have stood firm, that have looked to your word, and with the challenges of life have come back time and time again to it, and the grace and the peace of Christ has flowed out of them and ministered to us, and it continues to, and we thank you for that. Bless our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do wish all of you that have had the privilege to be a mom, maybe a grandmother here today, a great-grandmother, whatever it is, I wish you a happy, happy Mother's Day. You know, there can be a tendency to think about God's work among His people throughout history, and the history that we see laid out in the Scriptures, mainly through men. And, you know, great men such as Abraham, Moses, King David, Job, Peter, the Apostle Paul, and the list could go on and on. But the truth of the matter is that the Scriptures reveal to us that godly women had great influence and were used by God and empowered by God to carry out His purposes in this world. Women like Sarah, Zipporah, Moses' wife. You might have to look that up later. There's an amazing note about her. But Esther, saving a nation, Deborah, Ruth, Abigail, Hannah, too. We think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and there were, I don't know if you know this, but there were many unnamed women that were a part of Jesus' ministry. I think they were there cooking meals, supporting, maybe stitching up some things of some clothing, I don't know, but Luke 8 speaking of Jesus. Also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. And it mentioned some ladies that are known to us. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna. And then it says, look at many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. This was the ministry of our Lord. And there were women, some named, many unnamed, that were a part of that. And, you might not think about that, but there they are. There was also, if you could think of Lydia of Philippi. Then there's Phoebe. If you think about Romans 12, it's an amazing chapter. I forgot to look, but there are all these saints listed there that had a part of Paul's ministry. A lot of the names we don't even know or can pronounce. But here's one. This chapter begins with him mentioning a servant. I commend to you our sister. He's commending to the church at Rome, Phoebe, who is a servant of the church who is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of, for she, notice what it is, herself also has been a helper of many, and myself as well. There was a godly woman making a difference. So the Bible not only reveals how God in the past enabled, empowered by his grace, women to do amazing things for his great name, and many of them unnamed. And some of those, the way they served would be, unknown. But he also speaks to his present plan today. He speaks to us today about his plan to empower women to do the same. This isn't just history we're talking about today. I'm going to bring this word, as it always is, right in to where we're at today. I want to say to you, the highest calling for each of you is to be a godly woman whose influence for Christ is dynamic. Okay, your highest calling, if you wonder what it is, it's before us. Not just in this text, 1 Peter 3, if you would look up that up later, I don't think I'm going to go there, but we've got one verse I'll highlight from there. But these two scriptures, Titus 2, 1 Peter 3, women, these are scriptures that you need to know. Maybe you should have them memorized because they really speak to what God's plan is, his call for your life. It's a calling for each of you to be a godly woman of influence, a godly woman of grace, influence for Christ that is dynamic. Now, to have had the blessing of being influenced by a godly woman is a great blessing indeed. I'm going to be careful here so I don't get emotional, but I've had that in my life. I continue to have that. My mom, a woman who seeks the Lord, who desires for people to know Christ, who has put herself to being this godly woman, raising her children to love and serve the Lord. And I was blessed with grandmothers the same way. Beautiful women, each very different, that God has used in my life. Their influence is still felt today and will be felt, I believe, until the Lord calls me home. Well, there are three truths set forth in this scripture that I think explain how to be a woman of influence, a dynamic, godly woman of influence. The first, if you look in this text, is by conduct. Okay? And I have to say, what I'm going to teach you today, what we're going to walk through today, is it's counter to what you're going to hear outside of these doors. It's not what our society embraces, at least for the most part. But that's, we are light in a dark world. We don't look for their approval, hopefully not. And so God has something to say to you and I. Well, it's interesting in this text. In verses 1 through 2, he begins with the men, and then he pauses there in verses 3 through 5, deals with the women on this subject of godliness and how it is that God would have them to live. And then he picks it up in verses 6 and 8, and he's back to the men here. But for the women, he's speaking of conduct here. He's writing to Titus, a young minister, and who is then to instruct those who are under his care this word. And he begins with holiness here. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. That's a word we maybe don't want to embrace so much today, but it has the idea of acting in holiness. Reverent in behavior has just that. It's to act as a sacred person. Every believer is to pursue holiness because God is holy. He who calls you is holy. But behavior that is fitting for a child of God should be our highest priority. So when it comes to, okay, my life, I want to ask myself the question, what does God want from me here? How does he want me reacting and living and acting and fleshing this out? Well, it's in holiness. It's in reverent behavior. It's what God has to say to women in within the body of Christ. And so everything else I'm going to say to you, I believe is going to kind of fall flat if you don't understand this. Your relationship, your reverence for God through Christ is everything, okay? It's everything. It's all about your walk with Christ. The rest of this, if you don't have this right, it's going to fall flat. So I think the question we want to ask first and foremost is, do I know him? Do I know Christ? Do I know where I'm going? Do I have a relationship with God? Have I understood? I'm a great sinner, but God has sent a great Savior, and through faith in him, I can be right. I can be forgiven. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Secondly, am I keeping short accounts of sin with God? That is, when I step aside from his plan, do I get right back and say, Lord, I've sinned. You've said if I confess, you forgive. I'm confessing. Thank you for forgiving me. So it starts there in reverent behavior, but also in choices. You'll notice this as well. Older women are to be temperate, dignified, I jumped to verse 2. Which I'm thinking, man, I don't even remember dignified. Okay, older women, likewise, verse 3, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. He's just talking about behavior. He's talking about action. He's talking about the choices that we make. You know, those choices we make do end up making us. They really do. They have a direct impact on those within our families, those within our sphere of influence, those grandchildren, children, or if you're not a mother, those who you've surrounded or God has surrounded you with. And so there, we need to be, again, this has to do with reverent behavior. It's our relationship with the Lord. Wow, we've got to guard our tongue, huh? Now that is a challenge, is it not? It's a great challenge. There's much to the Christian life, and boy, this is one area. We should never be using our tongues for gossip, for maliciousness towards someone else. Boy, God has to guard our hearts there. But those are choices we make, or enslaved to much wine, or we could say something else as well with that. You know, anything that can detract from what it is to walk with the Lord. But choices are important. Thank God for the cross, right? Because with choices that are improper, we can come back again and again and see that our Savior has paid the penalty for those choices, and there is freedom for us, there's forgiveness. I don't know where God finds you today, but as we go through this, it might be that he's going to speak to you, and you know what? This area in my life is off. It's wrong. And I just need to agree with him in his word that this isn't what his plan is for me and get back here. Now, there's two negatives there. And the thing with those, if we can get those right, there's great freedom. See, he uses enslaved to wine, or maybe it's something else. But to repent of that and to see it for what it is, wow, there's freedom to go there. But there's choices, and words are just so important, aren't they? How many of you can remember in your life where someone had just come along and said a word to you that was beautiful, helpful? It was for the moment, and it moved you in a positive way toward the Lord. Hopefully that's happened. And you may be able to remember the opposite too. Where, boy, words weren't used very well, and boy, they cut. Proverbs 11:9 has something to say about this. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. Yeah, I've decided I've got to take a month break from any news. You know what news is? It's about destroying that, for the most part, someone who sees things different than you're going to cut them down. I thought, you know, I got to take a break from this. As a pastor, I need to know what's going on, but I'm thinking, how much do I need to know? It's a battle for me. But with the mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. He does. So we need to be careful with those, the choices that we make. So what choices are you making? That's the thing. Ladies, what choices are you making? Are you allowing God to use you for good, for His glory, to build up, to encourage, or are you using Him for something else? What about, maybe there's an issue in your life. Maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it is alcohol. Are you enslaved? If you're enslaved to it, that isn't what God, Christ didn't come to enslave you, come to make you free, to give you freedom. You'll notice here as well, and he's speaking, I believe, to those that are mature in the faith, older women. He uses this, the apostle does, when he talks about, I think it's 1 Timothy 6, where he talks about widows indeed, and he's talking about those that are 60 and older. I don't know that we can put an age on this, but really, as I look at this, I really think it speaks toward maturity. So he's saying the older women likewise are to be reverent behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Teaching what is good. So there's instruction here. We're, by conduct here, in holiness and choices and instruction. Who can older women influence? Who can they? Who can mature women influence? Well, anybody, any place. I believe the context here is especially speaking toward the body of Christ. And I will tell you something. The ministry at Bark River Bible Church couldn't be even close to what it is today without godly women, without women serving. You know, as we're sitting in the sanctuary, we're together here, but there's servanthood going, serving going on right out in the basement right now. You know, there's ladies that have taken the ministry of the nursery. And they're sometimes doing the dirty work there, right? I mean, they are. And there are those that, and they're teaching in that ministry, and they're teaching in those other ministries. Junior church right now. You guys have entrusted those little ones to these godly women who teach truth. Well, I'll tell you what, they're foreign. Those young ones, there's great formation, spiritual formation that's taking place right there. That's done through individuals that are serving. But he says here, older women, you're to teach what is good. And everything you do, let me say this, everything you do, not only what you say, but everything you do teaches. Do you realize that? Everything you do teaches. Somebody said that to me some years ago. I thought, you know, they're right. Everything I do teaches something. It does. So he says in this context, I want you older women to instruct. I want you to teach. Invest into someone. It'll always be coming from someone, by the way, as an older woman who's mature, it's always come from this person who has struggled in their lives. The value of those in our fellowship who have walked with God and experienced the joys and the obstacles that the Christian life delivers are invaluable to us. By the way, this is about the body of Christ. Let me come back to that again. We need to hear from them. We need to esteem them highly. We need to listen to them. Younger women, you need to get upside. An older woman that has maturity, you need to listen. You need to ask questions. Older women, you need to free yourself up to pour into their lives. That's how God has designed this. I was talking to an individual earlier today, a man who is investing in someone younger. Boy, that's invaluable. You know, in our society, often we kind of cast aside, right? Oh, he's gray hair, no hair, over the, you know, kind of over the prime of life. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's so much that someone older than you has to offer. And you get along someone who's godly, I'll tell you, you've got a gem there. Let them teach you. Let them instruct you. Let them encourage you. Let them speak to you about the reality of life. Listen to them. Older women, do it. Speak into the lives of these younger women. You might think, well, I'm not a teenager anymore. I can't connect with them. That's a lie. That's baloney. You can. You just be real. Meet them right there. I'll tell you what, there's something for them and something for you. They need a godly woman who's honest and real. That's what they need. God speaks to this. So not only does he talk about conduct, but he talks about influence here in verse 4. So that. I love these so that's, these connectors in the scripture. Okay, older women, God's speaking to you about conduct. He's talking to people, choices, holiness, instruction. Why? Why? Look at it right here. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So there's this influence. You'll notice that there is an influence from one to another here. And I believe in Christ, in maturity, through godliness, this influence is played out right before our lives, and it is wonderful. And it speaks, first of all, with her husband. And so there is this influence, and it's, first of all, she's to teach, she's to do these things so that the younger women will, it says here, love their husbands. In this context, the word speaks to the first and foremost relationship of a woman. That was first and foremost. We had that in the previous verse, to God. And here it speaks, I believe, to the second greatest relationship she has if she's married, and that's to her husband. Let's remind right now that this is the deal. It's one's relationship with Christ, and that relationship with Christ is first and foremost. Then, here we go to that next one. The next important relationship, if she's married, is to her husband, to her spouse. So what about that relationship? Those older women are to teach them to love their husbands. To love their husbands. That is what they're to do here. The Greek word here is philandros, and one writer puts it this way. Paul's not speaking of a romantic or sexual love, which certainly has a proper place in marriage, but of a committed love that godly wives choose to have for their husbands, just as husbands choose to have for them. Her children need to see that she is loving, if she has children, she is loving her husband. What if he doesn't deserve it, right? That's the question. I've come across that a lot of times. What if he doesn't deserve it? How many of you men here deserve to be loved by your... Now, don't raise your hands, right? Man, I'm glad that God's word is what it is. You know, the reality is we're all kind of messed up. Husbands, wives, we all kind of are. We all got issues. Don't live perfectly this side of heaven. That is why God's word speaks to men. Love your husbands as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. Love your wives. Did I say husbands? Love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for. You're to do that. You're to do that. You're to love. It speaks to the fact that we must love. Now, there's no qualifier here. Do you see that? No qualifier. Encourage the young women to love their husbands. If they make them happy, if... There's no qualifier here, just like there's no qualifier for husbands loving their wives in Ephesians 5:25. Praise God for that. So they're to teach him to love. What if he's a rascal, a real jerk, hard-headed? Well, they need to love. They need to love. That's what they need to do. No qualifiers. It doesn't say love them if. That's what the world says. I remember vividly sitting down with a couple that was struggling. And got to hear from them, and the wife said she was ready to get out of the marriage because he doesn't make her happy. I thought, well, we're in the scripture. I said, you know, I just challenge you in the word. I've never come across that in the word where it says you're in as long as he makes you happy or something like that. No, there can be great happiness in marriage and joy, certainly. But you know what? We make a covenant with God. Keep the covenant. And the call for each of us in that covenant is to love, no matter what. No matter what. So, there's a scripture, and I've given it to you about husbands are to love their wives. There are no exceptions. Look at I've got it there for you, Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. That begins in verse 25. It tells us that that is what God wants, and the wife must see to it, and here it is, that she respects her husband. And again, some would say, well, he hasn't earned that. I'm not going to respect him. He's not respectable. No, God has said, regardless, no exceptions, you are to respect that husband. So it's a matter of loving and respect, and that's what God wants from our ladies and the men, they have, we've been called to love as well. And you might say, well, how could that ever happen? I don't know where that's ever happened. Well, here it is. I think I've got it for you. 1 Peter 3:6. And in that context, by the way, the two, I believe, greatest chapters in the New Testament for our ladies, Titus 2, 1 Peter 3. At the end of that, it speaks about a lady who had, at times, a rascal for her husband. Abraham was always this man that walked as he should walk and loved his wife as he always should, right, all the time? Not at all. He threw Sarah under the bus a couple times, big time. Put her in a difficult situation and himself. Now, okay, so what about that? Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become their children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So it's not saying, women, you need to call your husbands Lord. That was a term of respect in those days. But Sarah did that, even though at times Abraham acted very ungodly. Was not... as a husband, loving her as he should, protecting her as he should. But here's a great example for you. I would give you another one, Abigail of the Old Testament. I won't go into that story. You can look that up later with King David. So there's this matter of loving, respecting, and the older women, you're to teach younger women like that. In our society, in our day, I think it's really important. The world's going to say something else. They're going to say, you deserve... just lay it out, all those things from your husband, and if not, get out. And God's saying, love. You need to love them. And not only that, but it speaks of this relationship. So that first relationship with Christ, secondly with her husband, thirdly, and by the way, that's the order here. You should not be loving your children or grandchildren more than your spouse. But here it mentions as well, teaching what is good, encourage young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so these are the areas God speaks to. By the way, what a challenge to raise godly children these days. Again, but God is up to the task. You know, we ought never to say to our younger couples, boy, I'm really glad that I'm not trying to raise children these days. Don't ever say that to them. Say, I'm really glad that our God is big enough up to the challenge of what it is today to raise godly kids. That's what we say. We'll act in faith. So, you know, it is a lot. And so you love them, whether they're biological or adopted, you love those children. They're mothers. And what you think, well, what's this about? Don't all mothers love their children? No, not always. There are mothers whose interest is only in themselves. Okay, I've got a child, but man, I got my life. I got my life, and these children, you know, they're kind of in the way. And so God says to them, love them. Well, let's pause for a second and recognize the challenge of motherhood, right? It's a 25-hour a day, 8-day-a-week challenge. And what greater investment? You guys think I've lost my mind, don't you? If there were 25 hours in a day, a mom would be there. Sharing with her. If there are 8 days in a week, she'd be working that eighth day. I think, five children in 7 years, that's what we had. Isn't it, hon? I know we had five. I think it was 7 years. And I got thinking about that this morning. I didn't look it up. I wonder how many diapers an average child goes through. That's a lot. Some of you would say, man, that's all. Well, we've got five children in less years, whatever. It's great. What a great, man, that's a lot of work. That's a taxing thing. And we praise the Lord for you guys. We thank God for you. We applaud you stay-at-home moms. In our society, I want to say this, you know, motherhood in our society, and that woman that says, I'm able, capable, and I'm going to invest as a full-time mom here now with all my life, that's... In our society, it's kind of a castaway, right? That's low on the totem pole. If you're a CEO or an athlete or an entertainer, as far as the ranks of women, you're somebody. And we say, if God puts you there, praise the Lord. If he puts you as a stay-at-home mom, praise the Lord. We see value in both. And we we really believe that there's a great investment that you have in taking care of those little ones, and we thank God for that. God bless you with that. There was a man that said something great, I think, just great. I came across it last week or the week before. President Theodore Roosevelt, and he's speaking of motherhood. He says, when it's all said and done, it is the mother only, who's the better citizen than the soldier, who fights for his country. The mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. I think he said it well. Let me finish here with, lastly, with what God speaks to. You know, if we're thinking, that I want to be this person with a powerful influence of Christ, Lord has one more thing to say here. Be sensible, verse 5, pure. Workers at home, kind, being subject to your own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And I think it kind of comes down to this. I want to say this last thing, and this is the hardest thing, I think, here. It's by surrender. It's by surrender. And I think that's the hardest thing for men. I think it's the hardest thing for women. This is God's heart for you, okay, to be sensible, level-headed, pure. I believe that speaks to morality and sexual purity, how you dress, how you talk, all those things. Workers at home, that's, you know, your home. And by the way, I just believe that a godly woman, her influence in the home, she can do so much there. I encourage you ladies with that. That your home be a place of grace, of love, of comfort, of acceptance, of safety. So he says these things, you know, be pure workers at home, kind. I'll tell you, there's just nothing like a godly woman who's kind. I mean, you just know when you speak to them, there's kindness there. Being subject to their own husbands, well, there's that surrender thing again. So cross-cultural. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. So it's, first of all, surrender, I believe, to Him, to the Lord. This is His heart for you, ladies. I've laid it out. We could go to 1 Peter 3 and really look at that scripture too. They're bookends almost. This is God's will for you. This is His heart for you. This is God saying, look, I want to take you, and I want you to be powerful, dynamic, gracious in your impact in the world for as long as you're here. And I've given you this instruction. And I want you to know that this is my heart cry for you. This is my very best. And to have it, you need to surrender to me. Yeah, and I believe if you do, He'll give you the grace to be an influence for Him. He does desire to empower you, enable you by His grace to be what you need and should be, and what your family needs, your husband, and the body of Christ stands in need of. Ladies, you're leaving something. You are leaving a legacy. You are leaving an influence. Wouldn't it be special if your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers, those you've invested in, would look at you or look at the scripture and read this through and say, that's so-and-so. That's grandma. That's my mom. That's my aunt. I remember hearing one time an individual speaking of a woman. He said this, she's a Titus II woman. She's a Titus II woman. You need to be that woman. God wants and will help you through it. But listen, you and I need to say something. You can't just say, okay, yeah, that's it. I'm going to do it. Well, the I'm going to do it's going to fall flat on the face. You won't get very far. It's not through the, you know, my just desiring and giving it all. No, it's not that. It's by giving up. That's what it's by. God's grace is there. When God puts this into Scripture, I believe He empowers, gives us what we need to be that person, to do those things. It's called grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. God empowering you. So it's, first of all, surrender to Him. And maybe it is, as we've gone through this, you're just like, oh, that gossip thing, I'm way out of line there. Call it what it is. And get back to where you need to be. Surrender. Confess. God will pick you up. You know, the righteous man or woman falls seven times, but gets up. It's not that God's looking for perfect women. He's not. He knows better than that, right? He's not looking for perfect men. He knows who we are. He's looking for those who will say, I need your help. I'm surrendering myself to you. Do this through me. That's what He's looking for. So first of all, surrender. Give up on yourself. Give in to Him, really to His way. It's surrender to Him. It's to His way. This is His way. This is God's way. When you live a holy life, you're living life His way. When you refuse to use your tongue for malicious purposes, you're doing what is best for your relationships, honoring God. When you are loving your husband, your children, as you should, don't give up on them. You just keep loving them. That's the Word of God. That's what God wants. That's what He has designed you for. That's what He will empower you to do. Now, you might say that. That's too much. I just don't know. You know, I'm kind of, I don't know. Give me an example. I'll give you one, okay? Young lady by the name of Mary. The most outrageous thing happens to her. She's chosen to bear the Messiah. She's got all her plans. I don't know if you ever thought about that. All her plans. Maybe if she was a feminist today, she'd say, oh, forget that. I'm not bearing that. No way. I got my own plans. I'll do my own thing. I'm not falling under what God's got. No, you know what she says? God reveals to her, you're going to carry the Messiah, the long-promised Redeemer. Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. You know what that is? That's saying, God, these are your plans for me. This is what you want. I'm stepping that way. I'm doing that. Well, if you knew exactly what God's plans for you were, would you do it? That's the question, isn't it? If you knew exactly what God wanted out of your life, would you do it? His word just spoke to it, friends. It did. And so, you know, yours is, I believe, to get before the Lord and just say, okay, you know, I don't have it all together. I got issues in my life, but I'm willing. I'm surrendering. I'll move forward with you. And that's my last question then. Will you surrender yourself to Him in order, or so that He might use you as a powerful influence for Jesus? Life's short. You know, you may be here and maybe you're not as young as you once were. You can look back at your life and it's not really been what we've talked about today. It's never, ever too late. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Okay? It's not too late. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Finish well. I'm going to pray, but I also ask, doing something different. I don't know if you guys, I hope you did you pay attention to the lyrics of the song that Brittany and Paul shared? Did you listen to them? Did you see them? I saw them, I'm like, I could preach that song. Well, I didn't preach that song, but you're going to hear it again. I asked those guys, I said, could you do that to close our service out? So I'm going to pray. They're going to come share. When they're done, you're dismissed, okay? But after I'm done praying, you get your heart before God. Let Him use those lyrics to speak to your heart, and you deal with Him, okay? Loving Father, thank You. Thank You that You don't leave us without hope or instruction. Thank You that You don't just throw us out there as believers and say, you know, make your way. I hope you do well. No, You've told us what You want out of life. You've told us how You want us to live, to act, to be. And You've given us the power to do it. We have Your Spirit in us. We have Your Word to correct us, to teach us, to encourage us. And Father, we can say, okay, I give up. Do this in me. I pray for those ladies here today that may be struggling with that. And I suppose that's true of each of us in any way when it comes to your will. We often what we want when we want it, how we want it. But you've said this. May you find them today with their hearts just surrendered to you. Thank you for them, Father. Thank you how you use them and continue to use them in our families, in this church family. Bless them. I pray that in the years to come, in this year that's coming before us, that you would find them seeking you, being a powerful influence on our younger ladies, on all this fellowship. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.